Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. We're talking today about developing your business intuition and trusting your gut. And we're going to have the show's going to come in two parts today. So for the first part of the show, first couple segments, I'm going to have is with my very special guest, Lynn Robinson. She's the president of Intuitive Consulting, Inc. She's the author of some fantastic books, including the newest one, Trust Your Gut, How the Power of Intuition Can Grow Your Business, and a couple of old favorites, Compass of the Soul, Divine Intuition, and Real Prosperity. I know that was three, but bear with me. And in the second half, I will be taking your calls about any aspect of having more of what you want in your life. And if you want to get in early, you can listen to the show while you're on hold. The numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. So I'm going to bring Lynn on in a second, but I just want to say a little bit about her. I used to work in a New Age bookshop in London when I was at drama school. And, we would have all sorts of people come in and, you know, there would be the people who'd look at me and they'd look sort of to the left of my head and they'd look to the right of my head and they'd look above my head. They'd look me everywhere but in the eye. And then they'd say to me, you know, I don't recognize your face, but your aura is so familiar. And that sort of whole mentality is how I started my first approach to anything to do with like intuition or psychicness or anything like that. And what I've come to learn over the years is that there simply are people who not only are more deeply tuned into their intuition, but who seem to be able to use their intuition, use their gut feeling to really understand what's going on with other people. And Lynn, for me, has been over the years one of those people that I turn to when I'm finding it difficult to listen to my own intuition. I turn to Lynn, and I will now, as then, turn to Lynn. So Lynn, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on with me today.
This is your inner voice speaking, Michael.
Oh God, I knew it sounded familiar. It's cheese. I was supposed to eat cheese this morning.
That's
wasn't
right.
I?
That's what it was
saying. God. So Lynn, tell me, for you, were you a born intuitive? Did you trust your gut I suppose we all trust our gut when we're babies, but you know, how did you trust your gut into being somebody who gets paid to trust their gut?
Well, I think that to a certain extent it is hereditary. I had a grandfather who was very intuitive and was kind of known in the family. He was a police detective actually in wartime London and was really known for his intuitive exploits, if I'm not coining a term there. But I've always been fascinated by it, and I think we're all born with intuition, but it is a skill. I think the more you use it, the better you get at it. So I'm all in favor of people listening to it and acting on its wisdom.
So one of the reasons I wanted to do a show about developing your business intuition as opposed to intuition in general or psychic powers or anything like that is because I think it's easy enough to sort of go to a psychic and go, am I going to meet somebody tall, dark, and handsome?
Right.
Or to, you know, trust your gut in the area of, gee, should I eat at Denny's or Coco's?
Right.
You know, we're really the consequences of being wrong.
It's not big.
It's not big. But in business, where an intuitive decision could wind up, depending on what you do, costing you your job or costing your company millions of dollars,
it feels
like a much bigger deal.
Yeah. But when you learn to trust it in small ways that you mentioned, it's much easier to trust it in the big way. So when you're making a hiring decision or you're thinking, you know, is this the right job to take or is this the right partner to take on or, you know, should my company relocate to Singapore or something much larger, it's much easier to trust your intuition. And I think we're starting to use intuition a lot more in business because we don't always have access to logic and facts and research and things like that that would usually inform our decisions. And I'm not saying, you know, intuition is right and logic and research is wrong, but I think we don't always have access to that information, or we have very contradictory information, and or we have to make a decision very quickly. And intuition is often the best way to do that.
Now, that just brings to mind a story I remember hearing about a CEO who is sort of noted for his decision-making skills. And I assume this story is apocryphal, but I like it anyways. And that when he was passing the mantle on when he was retiring and handing the mantle on, he, you know, the successor asked him, you know, would you mind, sir, before you go, letting me in on the secret of your decision making? And the man said, certainly. And he reached into his pocket, and there were a pile of stones in his pocket. And he handed the pile of stones to the incoming CEO, and he said, when you have a decision to make, just have these in your pocket and just grab some and, you know, surreptitiously take out your hand. And if there's an even number, the answer is yes. And if there's an odd number, the answer is no. And the guy said, well, what do you mean? You know, how do you make all these important decisions like that? And he said, well, often in business, just making the decision is more important than making the right decision.
Yeah.
Because once you've made the decision, you can adapt.
Right.
And I just wonder how that fits with your sense of decision making, because so much of the way we use intuition in business is to make better decisions.
That's right. And often it doesn't feel a whole lot more tangible than just choosing the right stone. I mean, I think, you know, all joking aside, when we started the conversation, this is your inner voice speaking. I think some of us expect our intuition to speak that way. You know, hello, it is now time to move your business to Singapore. I mean, it unfortunately or fortunately doesn't speak to us this way, frankly.
I know, because it would be freaky. I mean, everybody says, gosh,
it would scare me.
You know, it was the old Woody Allen joke, you know, I wish God would just give me a sign like depositing a large sum of money in a Swiss bank account in my name, you know.
I love that one. But it comes in lots of different ways. You know, whether you do it with a stone in the pocket or you actually have a gut feeling or another physical sensation. Sometimes people say, I know when I'm making a good decision, I get, you know, a sense of chills or a sense of energy up my spine. And other people say that they get an intuitive feeling in the form of a feeling. It's like I feel excited when I go in that direction. I feel, you know, down and depressed when I go in that direction. And so, you know, a feeling or emotion is a way of getting information. Other people get intuition in the form of a dream or even a symbolic picture. And really, often people come up to me and say, I'm not somebody who's particularly intuitive. And I maintain that we all are. We just have to learn how our intuition speaks to us. And it's not unlike learning a new language. And the simplest way I can tell you about how to use your intuition is if you're thinking about making a decision. Like, for instance, you know, say starting
your
radio.
Let me actually, just before you get into that example, we're talking with Lynn Robinson, author of the new book, Trust Your Gut, How the Power of Intuition Can Grow Your Business. And we'll be taking your calls in the second half of the show. Some of you are already waiting on hold to talk about having more of what you want, and I will get to you in the second part of the show. The number's to call 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. But Lynn, let's actually ask, if you're listening right now, think about a decision that you have so that when Lynn gives this example, you can sort of run it through in your mind. Okay, cue Lynn.
Yeah, so think of a decision that you're a problem or a challenge, and think, say, of a possible course of action, like it's time to leave my job or it's time to make a move or something. Just sort of, just for the sake of this exercise, decide something. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing is, do you feel excited or energized by the decision? So intuition will say yes by making you feel excited, energized, enthusiastic, and conversely, it will feel kind of boring or down or draining if it's not the right decision. But other things that you might want to ask is, do you feel open to making this change? Or you know that you've got some other choices, but this one particular choice feels right to you. And also, is it time to act on this decision? Because sometimes intuition will say yes, no, and sometimes it says maybe. The other couple things you might think about when you're making a decision is, can you see the successful completion of this decision? And if you close your eyes and ask for an image about this decision, what kind of image do you get? I had one guy I gave this exercise to, and he saw a big X through the name of the company he was about to go work for. That's a sign, I would say, you better pay attention to there. But if you feel charged up about something, you're open to the decision, it feels like the right time, you can see the successful completion of a decision, all of those are signs that your intuition is saying, go move in that direction.
Now, what about decisions? And I'm going to ask this question knowing that you're not going to have time to answer it before I go to break, but you will be back with me in the next segment.
Okay.
And you can answer it then. So is one of the things that comes up a lot, and in this next segment, I want to not only continue this discussion about the decisions, but I want to also look at other ways that you can use your intuition for inspiration in business. But specifically with decisions, I very often find that when people come to me going, should I do this or should I do that? Should I do this or should I just don't know what to do. I have a sense, my own intuition tells me, it's not time for them to make that decision yet.
Right.
And so I'm just going to put that there. I'm going to leave that there as a little teaser for you. And even if you come back after the break and go, that was the stupidest question I've ever been asked on a radio show. That's the question that I'd like to come back with. And also, as I say, talking about ways that intuition can be inspiration. If you want to get in the second half of the show, I will be taking your calls about any aspect of having what you want in your life. The numbers to call 1-866-254-1579 or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. We are talking about developing your business intuition. My special guest is Lynn Robinson, who teaches intuitive development skills to entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and corporate leaders. And can you tell I'm reading here? Uses her own extraordinary intuitive skills to help businesses of all sizes achieve success. And as a business of my size, I would say that she has served that role for me personally as well. So we will be back with more of Lynn and more of you after this.
1, 2, 3, hit it.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back. We are talking about developing your business intuition with my very special guest, Lynn Robinson. And we will be talking with you in the second half of the show about how you can have more of what you want. If you are on hold, do hang on. I will get you on. And at this point, I left Lynn with a question going into the break. So, Lynn, my question was, I very often, my intuition tells me when I am speaking with somebody and they have a big decision to make and they're going, oh, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I do this? Do I do that? But often it just seems like it's not a relevant decision yet. And I wondered if that fit your experience and how you handle that, if that's something you have
to
address.
Well, yes and no. I agree with you about that. And I think people often don't really recognize or appreciate the fact that when they're about to make a decision, it feels scary. I mean, it does to all of us. It feels, you know, at least mildly anxiety-producing, if not outright, you know, fear-producing. And often your intuition is telling you to go in a new direction. And so people tend to distrust their intuition a bit because it's leading them into some new things that they're scared about. So people often ask me, is it fear or is it intuition or is it wishful thinking? And it can be all of the above.
Oh, I love that. How do you, that, I want to just flag that as a question because I think that is a question that I hear all the time.
Yeah.
Is it fear, is it intuition, or is it wishful thinking?
Wishful thinking. Well, what I tell people to do is to start taking a small step towards what they think their intuition is telling them. And even if they can't differentiate, is it fear, wishful thinking, or intuition, take a small step. Like, say, for instance, you're deciding it's time to leave your job. Well, you know, they're going to call, your client is going to call you up and is this the right decision, Michael? Should I do this? Should I do that? And they get scared. It's normal. It's a big change. So is it wishful thinking? Is it fear? So I just say, take some small steps. It might mean rewriting your resume. It might mean calling somebody in a company that you want to work in. It might mean asking for a dream about your next step, about your work situation. Just something small. And if things tend to start working out, you're still feeling excited, maybe a little nervous but still excited, it means you're going in the right direction. Keep going.
So how do you know, this is a question that I get a lot, if the universe isn't cooperating,
mm-hmm.
how do you know whether to persist or that it's a sign that this isn't the path?
Well, sometimes I'll just sit back and I'll wait a bit. And, you know, it's not always easy to do that. I'm a rather impatient person. But I'll just sit back and I'll try to go into what I call surrender mode. Let me just sit with this for a little bit longer. Let me just see what happens. Am I pushing this too much? I also find when people are trying to manifest something that they are very impatient about it happening. And for some reason in our world, in our culture, things don't always happen just as quickly as we'd like. So I tell people to look for evidence of what you want showing up. I think we try to manifest something new, and then we go, well, it's not happening. This must be wrong. The universe isn't on my side. And what I try to tell people to do is just simply be patient. Expect that this might happen, depending on the situation, over a few weeks, a few months, a year, and look for evidence that what you want is starting to be created and continuing to take those small steps that feel exciting and joyful to you.
I think it's brilliant. I think one of the things that has really made a difference to me over the years is just the more I've trusted my intuition, the more my intuition has proved itself trustworthy.
Yeah.
And so it is something that also, it just gets easier with time.
It does.
Something I wanted to make sure we had a chance to talk about, because I think one of the things I really enjoyed in your book, and Lynn's new book, is called Trust Your Gut, How the Power of Intuition Can Grow Your Business. And there's two things particularly. One that you talk about, which is using your intuition to generate profitable new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is intuitive selling. So I'm just wondering if we can steer the conversation down that path over these last sort of 5-6 minutes.
Right. Well, I've interviewed a lot of people who were successful salespeople for the book, for Trust Your Gut. And what I found that people did, and they all had a different way of doing it, but basically before they were about to go on a new sales call, was to sit and kind of go through a series of questions, which were, how can I best serve this person? What's going on in their company and with them? How can my product or service help them? What problem can I help them solve? And doing it from doing the sales call instead of from, you know, can I make the sale? I want to make the sale. You know, I want them to buy X number of widgets, and kind of being in an adversarial position, is it really was about how can I help them? Now, those series of questions, and there were more in the book, but those series of questions were pretty common to all the people I found who were very successful salespeople. Sat down with a, you know, pen and paper or at the keyboard or on the PDA and just wrote down kind of stream of consciousness what they got as answers to those questions. And it made them be very open to their prospect, really understand what the prospect needed, had a much greater chance of winning the sale or and creating a win-win kind of relationship.
And also I would have thought just simply by taking the time to tune into the client and the sale beforehand, there was much less of a sense of separation.
Right.
I know a lot of salespeople that I talk to that have fears around selling.
Right.
It's the us and them.
Yeah. And also intuition can give you a great deal of information about how best to approach the person. I mean, do they want a lot of facts? Are they somebody that likes to read information? Are they more relationship driven? Is this somebody you're just going to have to visit with over a few, you know, weeks or months? Yes, it gives you a lot of information about how to connect with that person and what's the best way to create a relationship.
And I know it's something that I've used very effectively in negotiation, where I do a negotiation preparation that I call the negotiation profile, which is something I'll share on a future show. And what I found, if it's an important negotiation, is I will then tune into the other person and go through the same preparation as if I were them.
Oh.
And I often get some just wonderful insights,
mm-hmm.
Many of which turn out to be very surprisingly and at times frighteningly accurate,
mm-hmm.
about what's going on with them. Really do want to take the time, because I loved the whole idea of using your intuition not just to make decisions, but to actually generate new ideas in business.
Right. That's right. And you can use intuition whether you're in a sales position or with your mate or with your kids, of kind of and asking some of the same questions. You know, how do I create a better relationship? How can I help my kids with their homework? I mean, it's so, and I'll say too that often when you're using intuition, it does feel like you're making it up. And it feels a little ephemeral because it comes through things that are a little intangible, through a fleeting impression, through an idea that flashes in your head, through a physical sensation. So it does often feel like you're making it up, and it often also comes in when you least expect it. You know, again, it doesn't necessarily say, okay, let me ask my intuition a question. Oh, here's the answer. It often comes in when you're blow-drying your hair, you're walking the dog, you're driving home from work, you're taking a shower, something like that. It comes in.
But I don't have a dog. Does that mean I can't trust my intuition?
No, you have to have a dog. I'm sorry, you don't have any.
It's okay. I've got two, really. No, I think that is really key. It's the sort of almost the mundanity of it. Like you said at the very beginning when you came on and went, this is your inner voice speaking. Is it? I mean, I have had, and I think I know that you've had a few of those over the years.
Yeah, my whole business started by trusting my intuition and getting it as an inner voice. I'll tell you the short version, but I went to a friend's funeral and walked into the funeral home, and I heard an inner voice saying, sit there. And I ended up sitting next to a woman who turned out to be a reporter for the Boston Sunday Globe, and she wrote an article about my work, and I got 300 clients in the next month. So that inner voice really paid off. I was glad I paid attention to it.
Well, I live in Los Angeles because of that inner voice, and I sold my first business because of that inner voice. So it doesn't shout at me often, but when it does,
you pay attention.
I've absolutely learned to pay attention. If you were gonna, because I love, we're talking with Lynn Robinson, and we've only got her for another 2 minutes, and her books, Divine Intuition, Compass of the Soul, Real Prosperity, and her newest book, Trust Your Gut, How the Power of Intuition Can Grow Your Business, all fantastic. Lynn is the person that I turn to when I need more than just my own gut, and you can find out more about her work at lynnrobinson.com. But if you were going to give people one either piece of advice or quick exercise that they can do to begin to develop their own ability to trust their gut, to develop that business intuition, what would be the in a nutshell tip? that you could give?
I would tell them to ask their intuition questions and try to do it in a way that evokes more than a yes or no answer. So questions like, what should I do about, or what should I know about, or what do I need to boost my career, or whatever, the, you know, kind of do a sentence completion. And pay attention to all the ways that it comes in, an inner voice, a feeling, a physical sensation, an image, a dream, because there's no one right way to get intuitive information. And it doesn't always come through immediately, so just be patient. Within the next day, 2 days, you'll find that a little flash of insight or a feeling or a little piece of information that wasn't there before will give you the exact insight that that you're looking for.
And I think that patience is a key thing. And one just additional tip that I'll give is go ahead and get the book. In fact, get all four of them. Well, no, it's you know, they happen to be good.
There's a lot of exercises, techniques, quizzes, inspirational quotes.
Exactly, and I absolutely love a few of those exercises that I've shared with readers before in the tips. Lynn, thank you so much for being with us. My guest again has been Lynn Robinson. She's the author of Trust Your Gut, How the Power of Intuition Can Grow Your Business. You can find out more about her work at lynnrobinson.com. Lynn, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Michael.
And in the next part of the show, the next two segments, in fact, I'm going to be talking with you, specifically with Judith, Crystal, Sharon, James, Rose, and anyone else who wants to phone in on 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. We'll be answering your questions about how you can have more of what you want in your life. If you're interested in more about what I do, you can sign up for my free weekly newsletter at www.geniuscatalyst.com. And we will be right back with more of You Can Have What You Want right after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about developing your business intuition. And for the rest of the show, we're going to be talking to you. And specifically, first, we're going to be talking to Judith in Atlanta, Georgia. Judith, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I have quite a few upcoming events, and it's summing up to fear of not having enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the process. If I have that fear, that's what I'm going to get back. And I don't want that, but I am honestly feeling it. And I just want to correct it now.
I know. And you're in that wonderful place of, I don't want the fear. I don't want the fear. I don't want the fear.
Right.
It's a place that we've all been. There's something that's, they call in the, Sedona Method release technique, the scale of emotions. And, this is similar to the work. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Abraham that
yes.
Jerry and Esther Hicks talk about. But this is a specific model of it that I find quite useful in terms of when you're looking at your goals. There's basically 9 notes to the emotional scale. And I know the Abraham teachings have like 20, but it's just easier for me to manage 9. And it basically goes from the lowest vibration is apathy. And then it goes up to grief. And then it goes up to fear. And then it goes up to lust, which is like that greed. Oh, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And then it gets to anger. And there's a lot of energy in anger, but it's just usually directed towards the obstacles, not the goals. And then it goes up to pride. And then it's like a threshold gets passed. And it goes into courageousness. And then it goes up into acceptance. And then it goes up into peace. And it's in those higher energies, those courageousness, acceptance, and peace. It's when those higher emotions are there that you are vibrating in a sort of a more attractive way, whether you believe in the pure metaphysics of it or whether you just kind of think, yeah, you know what, when I feel better, I do better. Either way, it's valuable to be able to make that shift. So I want to do a quick exercise with you right now, if you're up for it.
Yes, I am. Definitely.
Okay, can you feel some of that fear?
Oh, I feel it all right now.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad it's cooperating. Sometimes people go, well, no, it just went away. Darn. Okay, so where in your body do you feel it most? If you were going to point to your body, where would you point?
In my chest.
Okay, so
it's
here's what...
really tight.
Great. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that there's a couple of doors right over that tightness in your chest. And I want you to just open the doors up, and I just want you to let that tightness out. Just let that energy out. Because what any emotion is it's stuck energy. You know, emotion is meant to be energy in motion, or motive energy. But it's actually, when we really feel it, it's usually because it's stuck. So just imagine opening up those doors, and imagine that energy can just flow out. Just invite it to go out, and just let me know when it starts to flow. And you might, yeah?
Oozing out.
Okay, great. And just let it ooze and let it ooze a bit more. And a little bit more. And a little bit more. And I mean, the important thing to remember is if you're feeling fear, you're already on the right track because you're past hopelessness, you're past helplessness. And you actually, in order to be afraid, you have to believe in the possibility of having what you want. It's a frightening possibility at this point, but at least you believe in the possibility. Because if you didn't even believe in the possibility, there wouldn't be any fear. So just let that ooze out and let me know when it's mostly gone. It doesn't have to be completely gone, but when there's a sense of, okay.
Right, I'm just about there.
Okay, so now here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about what you want again. And I want you to notice what's there now. Apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride, courageousness, acceptance, or peace?
Courageousness.
Okay, so it seems almost too simple. But just any time, you know, and I would certainly recommend doing this at least once a day. You tune into what you want. And if your energy, if your vibration has dropped down into one of those lower vibrational emotions, into, you know, anger, or fear, or lust, or pride, or apathy, or grief, just let it go. Just open up and let that energy flow. Because once the energy's flowing, once you're back into that flow of courageousness, or that flow of acceptance, or even that flow of peace, even if, now personally, my experience is, it really does work. Even if it didn't bring what you want to you, at least you'd get to feel good while you wait.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks for phoning in.
Thank you, my call. Okay.
It's an absolute pleasure. Okay, let's go to James. James, I don't know where you're at, but welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
I am well.
Great. I'm calling from Toronto.
Okay.
Toronto, and I sent you an email. I wanted to open up a bookstore, and I thought you had owned bookstores, but you apparently worked in them.
Yeah, I managed a couple of bookshops in London.
Yeah. Remember my email?
I do now, yeah.
Okay.
I was worried. You said that. I thought, do I owe him money? What's it?
No.
No, carry on.
Well, this is a great show that you have, because I'm trying to always follow my intuition, but now I'm really stuck, and it's been stuck for a couple of months, and I had a plan, but I was working a job as a career specialist, employment mm-hmm. specialist, and then because of egos, I ended up not working there anymore.
Oh, I know. It's so annoying when other people have egos.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
So it kind of made me stuck, and I am basically stuck on whether I try and open up a bookstore, which I don't think, I mean, it's a dream thing, so I get excited, and it's like intuition. It's supposed to happen, all the vision's all there. And then I'm like, my feet are in cement.
Okay, so
and I don't know where to go.
So hang on. So are my two choices, if I'm going to take over your life for a minute, my two choices are follow my dream and feel wonderful, or stick in cement, or is there an actual other choice? Because that seems like an easy one.
Yeah, but there's always the money issue, the knowledge, the lack of experience, the location, the little things. Do I want to spend all those times in a retail environment? All that, you know, the time I go away from my family.
So this is a case where I think Lynn's advice from the first part of the show is really valuable,
mm-hmm.
which is sometimes you don't need to make the decision before you act. Sometimes you can just take a few little actions and see whether the energy gets looser and more, flows more, or if it gets more and more stuck. So what I'm going to suggest that you do mm-hmm. is, and you may already be doing this, but just bear with me. Begin doing the research as if you've decided that in, let's say, 2 years' time, you're going to open the bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a sense of urgency about it, but there is a sense of, okay, if I'm going to do this, what do I need to know? Well, I need to know what's actually involved. Maybe I want to go down and talk to a couple of people who work at or run bookshops that I like.
Yep.
You know, maybe I want to talk to a couple of people at bookshops I don't like and see if I can spot what the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how quickly just a little bit of action like that will bring your intuition up louder. It'll turn the volume up on that voice. Now, it can also turn up the volume briefly on the voices of the fears, but in those moments, you just have to keep reminding that fearful part, this really is just an experiment. I'm not actually making myself do this. I'm trying this on. You know, one of the people, you know, with relationships, nobody thinks that you're supposed to just meet somebody and decide, okay, am I going to marry them or not? Am I going to marry them or not? Or am I going to marry them or not? You start by flirting. And if you enjoy flirting, you might move on to dating. And if you enjoy dating, you might move on to a longer-term commitment.
I've got to flirt with my dream.
You need to flirt with your dream for a little while, because right now you're asking yourself, should I marry it or not? And you haven't even dated yet.
Yeah, just because of the people who rely on me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? You can flirt with your dream without letting anybody down. And then if you really do like it, that will bring its own energy with it that will help carry you through what now might look like insurmountable obstacles. Mm-hmm. The other thing you might find out after you flirted with it for a little while is, you know what? It's cute, but I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you find out, that's what you find out, but at least then you know.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, well, happy flirting.
Yeah.
You know, you're always welcome to call back in, and you're also always welcome to post on the forums at geniuscatalyst.com. There's a radio show forum, and I'm always happy to address things there. So I look forward to hearing from you again, James. Thanks for phoning in.
Thank you.
Okay, and we will go to Crystal in Arlington, Texas. Crystal, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Now, Crystal, I want you to know we're coming up on a break, but I've got 1 minute before I have to go to break. So if you can kind of give me the question, then I can play with it over the break. You can play with it over the break. The audience can play with it over the break. And when we come back, we'll address it direct.
Okay, my question is, how do you get unstuck in the, you know, with business? I'm in the business. I have a business degree. I went to school. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do. And once I tried to apply my skills, I'm not getting recognized. I tried to be an entrepreneur, and it doesn't seem like I have the drive.
Okay, so then here's what I want you to do over the break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to put one hand over your heart.
Okay.
And I want you to breathe in a few times. You can do that now, but you can also just do that over the break. And I want you to think a happy thought. Think about somebody that you love, someone that loves you, until you get a good feeling going there in your heart. And when you've got that good feeling going in your heart, I want you to really tune in. I just want to ask yourself, what can I do to take better care of myself in this situation? And just allow whatever comes up to come up, and we're going to talk about that when you get back. I hope you will be with us when we come back to find out more about Crystal and find out more about Sharon and Rose and Kimberly and Michelle and having more of what you want by developing your business intuition. I'm Michael Neal. You're listening to You Can Have What You Want.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back indeed. Sorry, I came back. My voice didn't quite come back from the break, but here it is. It seems to be coming in now. We're talking with Crystal about how she can get unstuck and get going. Crystal, what came up when you went to your heart, when you tuned in, when you asked yourself, you know, how to take better care of yourself in relation to this? What came up for you?
A balance with my husband and I. That's my whole thing is my family. I do everything, you know, according to my family and, extended family. And so I'm on a track where now I'm kind of Xing out a lot of outside people,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, that's pulling a lot from me and, just trying to focus in on, Richard and I being more like, balanced, you know, together. He works a lot and I just want to help him out.
Okay, so do you believe that if you pursued your work goals, that would interfere with redressing that balance?
No, I think it would actually help because I'm so, you know, active and I'm being held back. It's like I'm locked in the house now. And so my husband would love for me to go ahead and grab something, you know, to be successful in. It'd take a lot of pressure off of him because he wants me happy, you know, and so I think pursuing a goal, you know, the problem is I have, and it's not working.
Okay, let me throw a few things at you, because again, it's an odd sort of mode that we do here on the radio, because I obviously don't get the chance to know you as much as I could, but what I'm always playing with is what's the pattern behind the stuckness? Because when somebody's stuck, and I've used this metaphor before, I use it in the book, you know, it's like a stick floating down a river that gets stuck. It doesn't need therapy. It needs a nudge.
Right.
So let me offer you a few nudges just see if you can get back into the flow of your own intuition. Okay. So there was, do you remember Dr. Spock? Are you of the Dr. Spock generation?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when he wrote Baby and Child Care, the opening lines of the, you know, one of the most influential child-raising books of the, certainly of the latter part of the 20th century, began with the words, trust yourself. You know more than you think you do.
Right. I hear that often.
So if you completely trusted yourself, what would you do?
I would pack my bags, leave Texas, go to Atlanta, Georgia, be happy.
Okay. So here's the thing, Gristle. You know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was as clear can be. So, you know, I don't think the problem is that you're stuck. I think the problem is, I'm going to guess, that you've got some fear about what would happen if you did what you know to do.
Exactly.
Okay. And so I'm gonna suggest that you work with that the same way that I worked with that caller earlier. And you realize that that fear is just a stuck energy. It's not something you have to honor in the sense of, oh, I've got to do what the fear tells me. You know, because fear, most fear, what people call fear, is really superstition. It's a poor substitute for the real fear that we have, that's an animal fear, that's an awareness of danger. Or it's a poor substitute for inspiration. It's like, well, I can't get inspired about my life, so I'm going to scare myself into not doing this. Or what would happen if I don't do it? And that kind of fear just isn't necessary. And so if you're willing to at least experiment with the possibility of letting that go, your intuition's speaking loud and clear, and I think you know that too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Crystal.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Let's go to Sharon in Connecticut. Sharon, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Thank you so much for all your work in the world, and also Lynn's as well. I'm a sex therapist.
I'll take credit for Lynn's work. Thank you. Sorry, you're a psychotherapist.
Yeah, I'm a psychotherapist, and I have intuitive abilities and have clairaudient abilities to hear spiritual guidance from what I call the angelic world. And the next business step for me would be to do an inspirational writing project of some kind, like a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I need to set time aside to write. However, every week I find that I see individual clients. I'm a mother running a house by myself, and I don't seem to get around to this goal of writing.
Okay, so I'm gonna jump right in because you're talking my language right now. So the first thing I want to recommend is a little piece of bibliotherapy. I want you to go out, either go to Amazon, go to your local bookshop, and pick up a book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. It'll take you maybe an hour to read, 2 hours tops, and it is the single best book for the artist who isn't arting that I have ever seen. And I've met Stephen, and he walks his talk as well. He's a great writer and a great guy. That's going to help right there. A second thing that you might try, second piece of bibliotherapy, works wonderfully for some people. Other people just go, is a book called The Artist's Way, which you can check out. But The War of Art is absolutely what I want to recommend. I just want to tell you about my week, okay? I'm coming up on deadline for my next book. Even though my first book, You Can Have What You Want, just came out in the States, it actually came out earlier in the year in the United Kingdom, and I'm now on deadline for my next book, which is called Feel Happy Now. And I, in order to do that with a full schedule of clients and the radio show, and then I'm working on another project in the afternoons, and then I'm off. I have three kids and a wife who like to see me from time to time. I get up at either 3:30 or 5 in the morning, depending on whether I'm going to be able to get a nap later in the day. And I write for about 3-4 hours before I have to deal with taking the kids to school and beginning my work day. The most important choice you make is what you choose to make important. And the reason I do that is not because I'm disciplined, because I'm just not. It's because I want to write. And I know that if I want to write, I've got to find time. And if I've got to find time, I'm going to find that time wherever I can find it. And I think there's this myth that writers somehow have their lives designed differently. And while sure, you know, there comes a certain point where maybe you do, most of the writers that I work with, and I work with some very, very successful writers, most of the writers that I do it the same way, is they find the time. They make the time. They make it important.
As I was waiting for you to answer the call. I typed out this message, and it said, and the answer for me was, I got that I need to structure inviolate time where I say, this right now is important to me. This is what my intuition, my inner self is saying. And as long as it is, this is the time I set for it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is a great example both of your intuition knowing the answer, and now it's just up to you whether or not you're going to listen.
Thank you so much.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for phoning in, Sharon. All right, we got time for one more. Let's go to Rose in New York. Rose, what can I do for you today?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for answering my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, right, I get a lot of ideas, you could say, and I get very excited about them. And within like a month, it's dead.
Sorry, I lost that last sentence. It seems like...
It fades away for some reason.
What fades away, the enthusiasm or the idea?
The enthusiasm.
Okay. So can you give me an example of something that you were enthusiastic about and then it just faded away?
Okay. For example, in the beginning, I'm into like health, you know, health and eating organic and all of that. And where I live, there's a very limited amount of restaurants. So in the beginning, I really wanted to open up an organic supermarket,
mm-hmm.
selling only organic groceries and so forth. And I started out, and a lot of the things that I, to start my research that I needed, started to appear. And after a while, I just laid back and just didn't continue to that path. Now, I'm into reading a lot of Hay House, the authors, the writers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read a lot of their books, Wayne Dyer and so forth. And I'm very inspired about the knowledge that I'm now getting. And then I'm like, you know what? I want to open a bookstore.
Okay,
I want
this
knowledge to be
all
out
right.
there.
Let me jump in. Because of time, let me just read you something.
Okay.
This is from a book called Get Unstuck and Get Going by Michael Bungay Stanier. In some primitive tribes, the shaman, the keeper of wisdom and magic and healing, could only become a shaman if he or she was wounded. It was believed that through their wounds that the powerful wisdom had entered. It's no accident that our scars are made of the strongest tissue in our bodies, even though they might be the result of deep injury. And so the question I want to leave you with, and I'm going to have to leave you with it, but you're welcome to always call back in, you're welcome to always go to the forums on GeniusCatalyst.com, is what scars do you have from maybe things you've tried in the past, projects that you've tried that didn't work, things that you thought were going to work out that didn't, things you thought were going to be the next step but weren't? What scars are you carrying with you, and how can they be sources of wisdom for you? And sources of strength as you move forward. Because when somebody is stuck, when somebody, you know, has these sort of passionate bursts and then pulls back, inevitably there's some old wound in there that instead of giving them the strength to carry on, is just in that moment shutting them down. So I'm going to just invite you to look at that, and thank you so much for phoning in, Rose. Thank you for all of you for phoning in. We have been talking about developing your business intuition. My guest today was Lynn Robinson, author of Trust Your Gut, How the Power of Intuition Can Grow Your Business. Next week, we will be talking about the 3 schools for learning helplessness. And my thanks to Sonny, Joe, and Roberto back in the studio for making everything go smoothly. My thanks to you for listening. I'll be back with you next week. Till then, have fun and learn heaps.